rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Once again, the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market returns to bring in support of local farmers and entrepreneurs right to the heart of Dearborn. Beginning May the 25th, over 30 Michigan vendors will be selling some of the finest seasonal products, from produce goods and flowers to garden art and woodworkings. This will also mark additional times for the market. Tuesday evenings, June 19th, July 17th, and August the 21st. The Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market will be open every Friday starting May the 25th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and is located on West Michigan Avenue between Mason and Howard. For more information about the market, including special Tuesday hours, check out DearbornFarmersArtisansMarket.com.
Criminal justice studies are concerned with the preservation of peace, the prevention of crime, and the protection of life and property. A knowledge of the role of criminal justice in our society also serves to emphasize the importance of balancing the needs of society to maintain social order against the need to safeguard individual rights. For more information on the HFCC Associate Degree Program in Criminal Justice, contact the Criminal Justice Department at one of the following numbers: 313-845-6437, 313-845-9714, or 313-845-9859.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone, where local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And today we have actually three guests online here, two of them, Christian Johnson and Rick Heck. Christian and Rick are documentary filmmakers in Los Angeles. And Christian is an award-winning documentary director and producer, and has filmed throughout the U.S. and in more than 17 foreign countries. Just one of his noted accomplishments is the September tapes, which took the viewer into Afghanistan for the hunt for Osama bin Laden. Christian Johnson and Rick Heck have a new webcast to show that'll soon become a cable series entitled Disclosure Leaks, where they have assembled a team of three of the world's most renowned conspiracy experts who seek to expose high-level government cover-ups around the world, not the least of which is the UFO phenomenon. So, here to tell you about it is, we also have Charles on the line. I didn't get Charles' last name. He was a last-minute guest, but I'm going to welcome Christian Johnson, Rick Hack, and Charles. Welcome to the show.
Charles Bender, hi.
Charles Bender, I'm sorry. Hi. I didn't get your last name, so hi to all three of you. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I'd say thanks, Dave, for having us on. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I found out about this Disclosure Leaks show, and very curious about it.
I traveled the world and had come across a lot of very interesting sources, and traveling through Star City and meeting a lot of people that were involved in the Russian space program and a lot of interesting hidden stories, kind of felt like it was time for us to create a half-an-hour TV series where it was supported largely by people that are already in the know and not supported by actual corporation or television network. So it's one of the first of its kind where we're really going to be working unfettered with information that we have full control over, and hopefully exposing some pretty interesting truths and seek of disclosure.
Very good. Now, who am I speaking to? Which one am I speaking to here?
This is Christian.
Christian. It's good to talk to you, Christian. Yeah, your website says that there will be three individuals basically on the show, investigative reporters or whatever. Who are these three principals that would be on camera? The investigative reporters and journalists and what have you.
I was going to say we have a small group of individuals that we'll be announcing in the coming weeks. But basically, we've got a kind of WikiLeaks attitude of a lot of information that's becoming available. Mm. And for us to do as much research as we can to kind of explore myths and truths and ufologist information, starting with the Mexico City, Mexican government Air Force sightings of the UFO flap that happened in Mexico. And it's coincidence with Mayan temples and the approaching 2012, December 21st event. So that's our sort of first mission of what we're working on, and starting to find some interesting evidence and information as part of all that.
Okay. As Mexico sighting you're talking about, is this the one that the so-called experts or the cynics said where they saw oil wells, the lights from the oil rigs? Is that the one we're discussing?
There's been a number of people that have had altered stories about it, but effectively it's pretty, the FLIR cameras on board the Air Force craft were able to track them for quite some ways, and there was, I guess, 3,500 reports and other sightings over this UFO flap, which was pretty sizable, maybe one of the biggest in recent times. And so since there's so many eyewitness accounts and other sort of verified video footage, we wanted to try to put it all together into a half an hour where we could get as much it kind of exposed to it as we could.
Okay. So this is really the first time the Mexican, their equivalent to our Department of Defense, has admitted these are UFOs. Is that correct?
And I think that's why it makes it extra interesting. It was that there was sort of a actual military and government that didn't quite know and couldn't explain, and therefore validated that it was in fact some kind of UFO sighting. And the information is pretty interesting. I don't think it's all come together yet, which is what we're hoping to do on our show, to showcase the whole story itself.
Okay, so you guys go out to Mexico, you go out to this base or wherever it is they deployed this plane from, and talk to people? Is that what's the basis of this show?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at a number of different approaches to it. We've been working on it for a few weeks to get access to the most validated sources and people that are familiar with it. So we'll be looking at all angles as what we can to get the true information.
Right. Okay. Now, Rick Hack, what is your role in this show?
Well, I'm a producer on the show. I'm the producer on the program. And, you know, what Christian and I talked about in creating this project is the fact that once we were going about and raising funding for the project, we wanted to make sure that we did it in a way that was unique, that hadn't been done in this regard before. And so we went to a crowdsourcing site and a crowdsourced company that called Mobcaster. And so Mobcaster is hosting all the information that, of course, that you talked about on the top of the program. And we thought by doing this as a way that we could reach more people on a wider scale and really have an open dialogue and information that we could gather on a wider scope that people can contribute and don't necessarily need to offer up. You know, they can do it anonymously. They can do it, you know, with providing their information, however they want to do it. So in order for us to get, you know, the most authentic story and information as possible.
Right, right. Well, so this show will air. Now, this show is going to air in September, so our show is going to air in September. So unfortunately, we will have missed the first episode Disclosure Leaks. That's going to be in August, right? That was in August? The first one, that was a Mexican sighting?
Right. So, Chris, so, did you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we'll be probably halfway done with the show. We might be able to send you a link to some of the first, we'll do a little teaser for it, probably a 30-second teaser. We'll also be able to have the web link available to our kind of two-minute presentation so that anyone who's interested in the show can kind of see what we're up to. And we're hoping to reach out to people and create a bit of a collaboration for us to share information and for us to be open source so that anybody who's interested in this is how we're, you know, activating users and so that people can feel involved in the show and be able to give us comments and update us on things they might know and vice versa so that it creates a bit of a community of disclosure.
Well, are these web shows going to be archived on the web? Are all these shows going to be?
Yeah, our initial broadcast, we're actually dealing with our broadcast partner as we speak, but we're making it available as open source as we can worldwide, so internet as well as North American television. That probably won't happen until later in the year. But beginning this whole kind of outreach campaign with us will be a bit of a resource and collaborative opportunity for people to get involved and to speak, you know, internally and with us and inform our program. I think it's a fun place where we're not dealing with network control. We're not dealing with, you know, media conglomerates. It's really going to be user-based, user-supported so that we can really try to seek the truth without any sort of, you know, controls over it in any way.
Right. Where can people go to check this out, Disclosure Leaks? Right now, anyway.
Rick, you want to explain our Mobcaster link there?
Sure. You can go to mobcaster.com, and on the homepage, we're going to have right now there exists a link, but I know this when the show is going to be airing. You could still go to Mobcaster, and they'll also be sharing some of our episodes. We are in discussions right now with a distributor. So hopefully we can. You'll be first to know once we solidify who's going to be airing the program online or elsewhere.
Okay, so is it written in stone right now that it's going to be a web show and it's going to air in August?
Yeah, we'll start out with a web broadcast, okay. And then which will be probably shorter, probably 10-minute episodes.
Oh.
But we'll have full-length episodes available in more traditional broadcasting environments, as well as our DisclosureLeaks.com site, which we're now just getting up and running. We'll have a lot more immersive experiences, as well as chat rooms and resources like that that come along with the show. So it's kind of a central place of information, and we're excited to work with you. Potentially, we'll link up. So we can you can be part of our sister company for us to give you, you know, exclusive information and footage links and that kind of thing.
Well, that
right. Our social media page, you know, on Facebook, will, you know, under the name Disclosure Leaks, we'll be able to interact with, like Christian was saying, about the user base and be able to you know, connect with our not just fans but people in the field and be able to provide, you know, the up and coming stories and additional information that we would need.
Right. Well, that'd be good. I'd appreciate any further info on it because it sounds like a very interesting show, and it sounds like something that I would be interested in, our loyal listeners would be interested in. Charles, what is your function in this show? Are you a producer or director? No, you're not the director.
No, that's Christian, but I'm also producing, and I have a wide range of ufology experience as well as science fiction.
Okay.
In terms of producing Hollywood films.
Okay. What Hollywood films were you involved in?
There's one, it's Solaris. Have you seen it with George Clooney?
Solaris?
Soderbergh directed? Yes, Solaris.
Yeah, I believe I have, with George Clooney.
Yeah, it was 2002. I was a co-producer on that film. I had I don't know if you know the history behind that, but it was originally Andrei Tarkovsky had made it in the Soviet Union in the late 60s, and it was sort of the Soviet Union's response to 2001. And I got the rights to remake it and set it up here in Hollywood, and next thing you know, Jim Cameron had come on board as a producer, and Steven Soderbergh was directing, George Clooney was starring.
Yeah, great, great. So you're not a newcomer to this business.
No, it's when you talk about ufology, I mean, there's some long history and stories, such as the alien autopsy, and being involved in that from the beginning with the investigation and Ray Santilli, all the way up to current times with Spiros Melaris. I don't know if you know the latest turn of events, but
no.
He's kind of come. Pardon me?
No, I don't. Tell us, because, for example, Stanton Friedman is poo-pooing this alien autopsy film.
Yes, and I would say he's probably in the majority. There's probably 90% of the people that don't believe it, but there's a staunch 10% out there who say that there is some legitimacy and some reality to the alien autopsy, and that Ray Santilli did have some actual footage, and whether he actually then recreated something or had the actual footage itself and transferred it to that we all saw on TV. I mean, there's a big debate and discussion, which continues to this day. There's a kind of a private email list that I'm on that Philip Mantle and others are part of, and it continues to get discussed.
Well, I think most of us in ufology believe that Roswell was a real event, and there were aliens and obviously alien autopsies. Now, whether this Santilli film was one of them is the question, but what is your take on it?
I think so. Spiros coming forward and offering his point of view is really shed the light that he was a creator behind it. I think in this day and age, you know, if Ray had further evidence, he should be presenting it. There are people saying, you know, he was confronted by the quote-unquote men in black, and he's kind of not willing to say anything further in this day and age. But I think that with the evidence that Spiros has presented, it's quite convincing that he did have a big involvement in creating that film.
When you say creating it, are you saying it was man-made? I mean, it was a hoax?
Yes, yeah. Then that's what I'm saying, is that he was the director and the creator behind those images we're all familiar with.
Hmm. Well, he did a darn good job of it, I must say.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Darn good
job. Absolutely. And that's something, too, with ufology, as the years progress, it's becoming more and more hard to discern the fact from fiction. So,
yes, yes.
There are people that are out there, creating video and clips on After Effects and Photoshop, and you know, it's really kind of up to us now and to really pour through this evidence and see what the realities are.
Right, right. That's why Stanton Friedman only shows the pictures that were taken in the 50s, where they could not doctor and known to be in existence from the 50s, because they could not doctor that.
Are you breaking up there for a minute there, Dave?
He's coming through loud and clear. But, he was commenting about Stan Friedman only showing images from the 50s, because in that day and age it wasn't feasible to fake them like they are now. And I would say even up through the 70s, I would say some of the photos that Billy Meyer has are even pretty convincing. But that's the whole show we could do right there on that subject.
Yeah. A lot of pros and cons on the Billy Meyer subject. You know?
Yes.
I think, and personally, I think that some of his work is real and some is not. Now, why would he contaminate the real thing with...
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that you're absolutely right, that there were images and that are 100% authentic, and some say that it became a lot of pressure on him to produce more and more evidence, more and more material, and perhaps under that pressure there was something fabricated. I don't know, but I've heard that as one argument.
Well, I hear you, but I think that's silly. I had, I think it's a silly argument. I had a sighting when I was 14 years old, a dramatic sighting, okay? I have not seen anything since then. You pressure me all you want to make something up. I'm not going to do it. I saw one. That's it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but you're talking about Billy's hundreds of photographs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he has a dozen authentic photographs and people are pressuring him, say, sorry, I saw him, I got a dozen photographs, and that's it, you know?
He created quite a community, the Sannyasi Star Center and the people that are there. I mean, he's got a lot of believers, so.
Well, maybe that's the purpose behind him. I don't know, but.
Right.
I can't say. I'm not going to knock the guy because I don't know. But
but he's certainly been prolific in his writings and his photos.
Yes, he's done a lot of work. He's been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to take a moment just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone.
Hey, I thought you and the boys were doing some environmental cleanup thing today.
We are.
Well, it looks more like you're going fishing.
We are.
And that's the example you're setting for our children.
Uh-huh.
Conservation is easy. Every time you purchase a fishing license or register your boat, you're helping to preserve our nation's coastlines, lakes, rivers, and streams, protecting memories for generations to come. To learn about all the ways your participation in boating and fishing help the environment, visit takemefishing.org/conservation.
And we're speaking with Christian Johnston and Rick Hack and Charles. And Charles, once again, please give me your last name.
Bender.
Bender, Charles Bender. And I'm going to write that down. And they're the producers and directors of a new show called Disclosure Leaks, where they tell us what the government doesn't want us to know. And what do you mean? Our government would lie to us? Withhold information? Is that what you guys are saying?
It's perhaps for our good that they're withholding it. You believe that?
Well, explain yourself, sir.
Oh, that's just, yeah, I mean, I've heard since, are you familiar with Richard Dolan's work?
Oh, yes. Had him on the show.
His book After Disclosure is great material there, and I think he delves into that fully about the reasons for withholding and what's going to happen if there is disclosure.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote a book myself called Global Implications of the UFO Reality. And, yes, I can agree that, there are going to be some people who go off the deep end. New religions are going to be created because of this. And it shouldn't be. If they're here, they've been here forever, and they will be here ad infinitum. So, live with it. Go on about your daily business and just accept that fact, you know what I'm saying? So that's my opinion, though.
I would ask, then, what about the technologies that are being suppressed?
Well, yes. What about the technologies that are being suppressed?
When you say go about your lives, though, that could certainly change everyone's life.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Right.
Electromagnetic energy, anti-gravitational devices. Do you believe they have them?
In some forms, absolutely. I think there is some warehouse tucked away somewhere with a lot of scientists working on undisclosed technology.
Have you looked into the 1980 UFO Waters incident in England with Peter Robbins and Larry Warren?
I was thinking of the forest. What is it, Rendlesham?
Rendlesham Forest, yeah. That's the best forest.
Yes. Have you ever seen any footage, though, that's connected to that?
No. No.
Supposedly they did shoot some 16-millimeter footage, correct?
Correct. But that type of thing.
And that's something, we spoke about, too, with Christian, was about perhaps getting over to London and and talking to a lot of these military officers. I did meet a couple at the UFO Congress a few years back that were stationed at the base at that time.
Okay.
And I think as people get older and they start thinking about what they've seen and their secrecy oaths that they've taken, that now is the time for some disclosure to start happening.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you completely. For example, you were saying maybe it's the best thing that they withhold this information. Well, back in 47, I would agree. It's the best thing that they withhold this information. But not today. I think we could handle it today, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I believe so, too. And I just think with people getting up there in age and thinking about mortality, perhaps it's now time to open up and get some things off their chest, you know, so to speak.
And that's what, you know, deathbed confessions. That's
right.
You know.
Right.
And who was it now? I'm not going to think of his name from Roswell, who wrote
General Corso?
No, they wrote the letter. Can't think of it. But he was part of that of the cover up of Roswell, and he wrote the letter just before he died and left it that this was a real event.
Right. So. Yeah, I just think we need to get people while they're alive to really explain it, you know, to answer these questions. And unfortunately, like with somebody like Corso, he had so much more to answer, and which wasn't answered with his book. And I just hope for more opportunities like that with the UK incident and Rendlesham.
Right. Well, so do you plan on doing an episode on the show with about the Rendlesham Forest incident?
Yeah, that is one of the ones on our episode list, yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. When will that air?
Oh, well, we got to get over there and talk to some of these folks.
So oh, I thought you had already...
Yet.
I thought it was already in the
can.
No,
not that one.
Oh, okay. What others do you have already in the can? If
Christian,
any.
You want to go through some of that?
Have we lost you, Christian?
Christian, are you there?
Christian has fallen asleep.
No.
My show has put him to sleep. The discussion of his own show has
been... I think we've been interrupted by maybe another force.
Right.
Could be. There's a man in black standing over him right now.
Yeah. Well, I think here's where, if I can address that question, to
please.
Extent, and then Christian jump in here. I think we want there. You know, obviously we have some issues that we wanted to tackle, and I think you guys have just talked about several of them. I mean, there's new information coming up all the time. I'm not sure if you were talking earlier about this this Air Force official who announced that there was two UFO crashes at Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as the information is coming about, and like you said, some of these folks are getting older and wanting to share. But I think the temperature, you know, and the climate now is what everybody is prepared for this type of information, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's been you saw what happened, I guess, in the all the hoopla that was around the Olympics, and everybody was saying, oh my God, did they see something at the Olympics? Everybody's prepared for this type of information.
Mm.
And so we're hoping just to uncover it and maybe expedite the process.
Yeah, I think that I've said this on the show before, that I think instead of coming right out and saying, my fellow Americans, we're being visited, they're just going to let this information get out on its own until it is become self-evident. Would you agree? Any of you?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the more we uncover, and as our programs start to be aired, I think we're going to be coming. I think more people are going to be coming to us, knowing how authentic our show is, and more people will be surfacing. So, I mean, we want to be nimble as far as the reports and the subject matters that we're tackling,
mm-hmm.
And we also want to be, to some extent, be careful about what we share at what point, just so we can, you know, make sure we get to the bottom of a given investigation.
That's right. And you have to know that the what you're putting out there is true or as accurate as you can possibly get it. And I assume that's what you've been doing. Correct?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And that's the whole focus and goal of the show.
And you don't deal exclusively, if I understand the show correctly, you don't deal exclusively with the UFO phenomenon. So what other cases can we look forward to seeing?
We will be focusing primarily on everything having to do with the UFO phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. So the first, how many weeks?
The first season, we're going to have 20, probably 20 episodes. And each episode will be somewhere between 10 and 12 minutes. And those are for the shorter form and for the web. And then, like I think Christian was explaining earlier, we were talking about having more of a traditional format of about 24 minutes that we'll have that might be broadcast on some other, depending on the traction that the show gets online. We'll see where the show goes from there.
Right. Things like the Kennedy assassination, for example, are you thinking of doing something on that? Was it a lone gunman? Was it a conspiracy or what?
I mean, yes, obviously that'll be something that we might tackle in next season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how much of that is really impacted by what's taking place in, you know, from an extraterrestrial standpoint, And I think, again, like we really want to focus on the issues that are happening right now. Because we are a show that's going to be addressing and the production values of our show, and we'll be able to report things and be able to broadcast them in a very swift manner. And I think that's what's also unique about our program is the fact that, you know, certain issues I think people want to know about more, and we can also get feedback as we go along to say, oh, this is something we really should address, and it might even be through social media that we put it back out to the community and say, you know, these are two things that we're looking to address. What issue seems to be more pressing, and, you know, maybe getting as we get the community involved and having them answer to us, this is what we want to know about.
Right. And how will they be able to get in touch with you? Is through your website? Disclosure leaks, or?
Right. So through the website, through our social media sources, through Facebook and Twitter, and you know, those are some things that we'll be reaching out to our community about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what other? We talked about possibly doing the Bentwaters thing. We talked about the. Is there any other information you can give us on the Mexico sighting? For those who are not. No, those of our listeners who are not really up on that Mexico sighting, what we're talking about, can you describe what the events were on that day?
Charles, I don't know if you want to jump in here as far as some of the folks that you're also going to connect us with.
Yeah, just briefly though on the Mexico. I mean, there's the one aspect of the military in flight and the objects that are seen on the infrared cameras. There's been some recent military folks coming forward and saying, you know, they're unsure themselves what the heck they're capturing on their cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you're familiar with Jaime Musan down in Mexico, and he's done an incredible job of covering everything and not only Mexico, but Central America as well.
Right.
So we hope to also contact Jaime and find out further information that he's recently uncovered.
Very good. Very good. And
then when you're talking, too, about other subject matter, in terms of something like the Kennedy assassination, I think it would depend on what kind of evidence is coming forward that's new and different, and if there is something that someone has and brings forward to us, and we find some credibility there, we'll investigate it. But you know, at this time, I think that particular subject has been covered every which way imaginable.
Yes, and I think a lot of
it's Christian piping in again. I was going to say, one of the things that was interesting about spending time with the Russian Space Agency people was finding out how much information is now kind of being disclosed. The Indian government is starting to unrapture their UFO files, and there's a lot of disclosure documents and things like that. It's a lot to sift through, much like WikiLeaks. And now, along with our team and hopefully with a user base, we can start to put more emphasis on this in a way to be able to explain as much as we can find out in a half an hour finished program. But I think now with the internet and the free trade of information, it's a lot easier to be, you know, made available these kind of documents. And that's kind of why we were excited to have a user base that can also help inform while we do our investigative sort of journalistic exploration into all of this.
Right, right. Well, now you mentioned WikiLeaks. Are any of you kind of leery as to what might happen when you think about what's his name, Assange, in WikiLeaks? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think because he was hitting more specifically in redacted documents and things like that within the government, that's why he sort of ruffled some feathers there. Mm. I think when it comes to ufology, largely, the governments aren't so keen on it in a way that they're concerned. So it's more that what we're trying to do within the show would be looking for documents and things are made available, and we can take it one step further in the investigation into it. And not like a 15-minute episode in a corporate-run television series where maybe you get too close to the truth, but yet, you know, one of the higher-ups at the corporation doesn't want it revealed for whatever reason, even if it's just paranoia. And so we want to break the barrier with the show so that, you know, paranoia with corporate, you know, or with the network, we can kind of go the one step further because we're kind of fearless in that. And my experience in shooting in different parts of the world and being blacklisted from China and Tibet on a new project that we did, going inside of there, you know, there's a certain amount of fearlessness that us and our investigators will be experiencing that I think is important for something like this. It probably wouldn't happen in a corporate environment.
No. Well, is
In terms of WikiLeaks, Dave, did you hear about any of the rumors of them having particular UFO documents?
They said something was said about Assange had documents about UFOs, and he was going to release them. And then, of course, he goes off and gets himself accused.
Right, exactly. And as for those documents, I've never heard of anything coming forward,
nothing ever did, to my knowledge.
Right, right.
So maybe he was just shooting his mouth off. I don't know.
Right.
But then there's this Gary in England, No, I'm not going to think of his last name.
Sheffield?
No. Mick something. He got into the government computers. He didn't really break in. They were just lackadaisically open. You know, it's like leaving your front door open and somebody wanders in. And he found all of this information about UFOs and how they're real and how we allegedly are working with alien beings and have astronauts on ships, you know, like an exchange, a foreign exchange program. Now, how much of that is true, I don't know, but he says that, you know, this is what I got.
I haven't seen any documents in that reality either, correct? Have you?
No, but this is what he says he's got. Now, they want to prosecute him. I don't think they're going to prosecute him. And I don't think they're going to prosecute him for the same reason they threaten military personnel, Air Force personnel, with cutting off their pensions and putting them in jail if they talk about the UFO phenomenon. Because what are they saying if, you know, someone comes out and says, like in the Disclosure Project, these are a lot of them are ex-military. And they come out and say, UFOs are real, I was part of this project. Okay? What are they going to say? What are they saying if the government takes them and puts them in jail for exposing a secret? They're saying this is a secret that they exposed. It's a true thing. And that's why they're not going to go after them. Now, what do you think about that rambling speech I just gave?
Well, in terms of Nick over the seas, I believe he's quite a young kid, right, that did all that hacking,
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think if either Julian or Nick has this material, now's the time to release the ace in the hole. Because, you know, Julian's sitting in the Ecuador embassy, I believe, hiding out there. And Nick's getting very close to being deported over here.
Right.
Well, so if they do have this material, I think they should disclose it.
Well, I don't think he really has the material. I think that what was is he got into our computers and saw this material and exposed it and talked about it.
Right.
And now they're saying, what are you doing in our computers? Well, you left the front door open. I just walked in. I didn't break in, you know?
I think he would have been smart enough to take some photos while he was walking around then.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. So what evidence does he have? I don't know.
Right.
I'd like to get him on the show, but I doubt if he would. Mm-hmm. You know, he's sticking his neck out even more, the more public exposure he has, don't you think?
Not necessarily. I think he's the damage has already been done. So
yeah. But
and then in you mentioned too, Dave, about other subject matter. I was going to bring up the subject of Coral Castle. This is something we talk about maybe for later seasons. Are you familiar with that subject?
No.
In Florida, Coral Castle, Ed Leedskalin, in the early 1900s, had come over and built an incredible coral castle out of 1 to 20 ton stones. And nobody knows how he did it. He was about 5'2", 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stacking
ones. He said he had the secret of the Great Pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some subjects like that, paranormal, and when I was mentioning about new information, new investigation, there's an author, Joel Bullard, who's done incredible work on Coral Castle. So I think that could be a further subject of one of our shows.
Yeah, somebody said that they saw him saw him levitating stones or something to that effect.
Exactly, yeah. Kids when they were quite young.
Yeah.
That kind of peeked over the fence there and took a look as he was building away.
Yeah.
And that's what they claim to have seen.
Yeah, well, you don't know. I need to take one more minute to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM. The only station making waves, 89.3 FM on your radio, and WHFR.FM on your computer here at Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn, Michigan. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with Christian Johnston and Charles Bender and Rick Heck. And they are the producers and directors of the new show, Disclosure Leaks. Disclosure Leaks. And we were talking about not only UFO, the UFO subject, but other things, other paranormal things, other things like the Kennedy assassination. Anything else that you can think of that you might tackle while you got this show going? Anyone? Any one of you three?
Well, we kind of do a quick recap. We're basically working with Mobcaster.com, which is a way to crowdsource fund television programs like this so that you don't have to subscribe to the controls of big corporate, television broadcasters, et cetera, allowing us to do something that is more user-based, user-friendly, and a free exchange of information, and where our users that are involved are working with us and help inform us and bring to light things we may not know, and also for us to be able to give them exclusive opportunities and information and contacts that we're discovering as we're going through the process of producing this show. So I think it's going to be one of the first of its kind that really is a bit more of a interactive user-based source where, you know, we're constantly moving with information from everybody that's involved and might have information we don't know about, and vice versa, first-time glimpses at stuff that we're uncovering before the show airs.
Right. Okay, so that's mobcaster.com. MOBCASTER, mobcaster.com.
So Mobcaster is a crowdsource website that really pushes television-based content, and it's where users can come and actually donate to support a show or even provide information. At least in our case, they're providing information, they're providing funding, all different types of research, whatever it might be, at least as it pertains to us. But Mobcaster is a crowdsource-based website that focuses on television, sort of similar to an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter, if you're familiar with those websites.
Okay. So anyone that's...
It's the same way with you know, public media. That way, you know, when it's supported by the public, then it gets to be a lot more avant-garde. At least it allows us to go a lot deeper and not be scared off by, you know, corporate concerns and that kind of thing. And this show will hopefully be able to, you know, extend beyond the normal investigative journalism. To some degree, we'd be able to go further and work with outside sources and be more free user base, which will get us closer to the truth. And that's why Disclosure Leaks is an important show for us, and I think other people will find it really informative.
That's exactly what WHFR is, non-commercial, and we don't have to answer to any sponsors, and we don't have to air any of those silly radio commercials that you always hear. And I just shake my head at some of those radio commercials. But at any rate, and we're supported by the public, and we get WHFR gets donations from all over the country. So we know that people are listening. So so check out mobcaster.com. Disclosure Leaks. See a little clip. There was a, 2.5 minute clip of the show, kind of a teaser. And it looks very, very interesting. But we were talking before about what other type of subject do you think that you've been tossing around? I'm sure you've been tossing around all kinds of subjects besides UFO phenomenon. What else do you think you'd be covering?
Well, chime in terms of like Sedona, Arizona. You ever been out there?
No, but I've heard a lot about it. I have friends.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's people that swear about the energy and the ley lines and the real metaphysical experiences that are happening out there. So, I mean, so something in that direction could also take place. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you've ever been to Mount Shasta in Northern California. You ever been up there?
No.
I know a group that swear that there's a UFO base in the mountain and viewpoints where you can watch them come and take off.
Underground bases.
Yeah, in the mountain itself.
Yeah, I've been, you know,
I was going to mention in my experiences in traveling through Afghanistan and across the board, I run across some pretty interesting CIA operatives and international correspondents and talking a lot about remote viewing. One of the things we're going to explore is a couple of certified remote viewers and what they've supposedly seen in the dark side of the moon and what other things the CIA is doing with remote viewing when it comes to extraterrestrial intelligence. And so there's some interesting things we're exploring on that side as well that I think is going to be a very informative.
And what did they say they found on the back, on the dark side of the moon?
There's some interesting eyewitness accounts, and we're in the process of getting exclusive access to their accounts as well as part of all of this.
Were there supposed to be bases on the other side of the moon? Are you not saying? Are you not disclosing here?
Christian?
Hello?
What was that? We were breaking up, sorry.
Yeah, he's asking about what was the outcome of the discussions about the dark side of the moon.
Well, one particular remote viewer was so affected by what he saw, it took him 20 years to explain it and write it all down, so we're just getting access to that now.
Okay, because the astronauts that went around the moon originally allegedly reported there are bases on the moon. There are bases on the backside of the moon. So whether that's true or not, I don't know, but maybe...
The remote viewer that actually saw this in his sighting basically painted and drew what he saw, and it'll be very interesting. That'll be one of our main episodes. I think people will be pretty interested to find out what we're learning about all of that.
Well, why don't you describe what he painted and drew to the listening public? We are waiting.
Well, I think it'll be best seen when we can uncover this gentleman's paintings and photographs and what he basically derived from it all. So that'll be one of our main episodes.
Did you see these paintings? Did you witness this?
One of our investigators actually had an opportunity to meet him and to see what he had seen. And, it's hard to explain in words.
Did it look like bases? Did it look like a telescope?
It had to do with certain energies, and there was potentially some physical structures of some sort that were occupied but not necessarily still occupied. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a very interesting world which we're looking into.
Well, that was kind of heartwarming that out of you, wasn't it?
Well, it's, you know, come on. It's, part of it is about the reveal, you know? You got to build some of the excitement around the show, you know what I mean, Dave?
I hear you. But, hey, this is We Are Not Alone here. This is a show, too. You heard it here first, folks. The remote
that's
viewer.
Also going to be the fun part about us doing a half-hour show. We'll be able actually to show visuals that are references and as much information as we can call from some of these, which I think, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, as they say.
Right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me and my listeners. But all they can do is hear about it. They can't see it. You want to see it, you got to tune into to Disclosure Leaks. And that's, once again, that's a webcast, right? That'll be a webcast before it's on TV, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So go on the computer and go to Mobcaster and just Google Disclosure Leaks. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what's on the dark side of the moon and not just hear about it. But I do appreciate I do appreciate you sharing that with me.
And as you know, it's not really dark on the dark side of the moon.
No,
it's just the back side of it.
No, they've always said it's the dark side of the moon because they can't see over there, you know. We're not from Earth. Not from Earth. But they also said, allegedly, that when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, that he saw UFOs on the edge of, on the rim of the crater. Have you heard about that?
That, and I'm sure you're familiar with Edgar Mitchell.
I had Edgar Mitchell on the show, and I asked him about that, and he said that's not true. And I said, you know, I forget exactly what I said, but he said, I was there in the control room. So I know that story was not true. So
what is he seeing, though? What is he talking about?
Well, he claims that he never has seen a UFO, but from what, you know, the people in Roswell, where he lived at the time, have told him, more or less deathbed confessions. They wanted him to know that they were around at that time, and it really did happen, and there really was a crash, and there were bodies, and they handled some of the material, and they were threatened by military. And, you know, the only person, you know, they didn't want to tell the public because they're afraid the public would panic. The only ones that really panicked was the military. They went off the deep end, threatening people. You know, your bones will be—they'll be picking your bones out of the desert and all of this good stuff. But so what?
Well, I think that there had been some reports about Edgar mentioning specific government officials telling him point blank that the UFO experience is real.
Oh yeah, yeah. He got that from I want to say CIA.
Yeah,
and then the guy that told him, that was real, and then he goes away and comes, or he never came back or whatever. He says, "I can't tell you. You don't have a need to know."
Right.
What are you talking about? You already told me. You know, whether I have a need to know or not, you already told me.
Well, right.
Okay. So the conversation was somebody, you know, in the interim told him to shut up. You know, so.
Well, it's interesting in terms of astronauts, why some are more willing and forthright to talk about those kind of experiences like Edward Mitchell, and others like Buzz Aldrin, you probably get clobbered over the head when you ask some questions like that. I mean, I have spoken to Buzz Aldrin before, and then you know, I don't think he wanted to touch upon that subject matter at all.
No. No, but then Buzz Aldrin did say publicly that there was a monolith on a moon of Saturn, I believe it was. And people are going to ask, who put that there?
Yeah.
You've heard of that, right? If you want... Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how forthright Buzz has been on that subject.
I don't know.
He has actually admitted to stating that and discussing that.
Oh yeah, I saw the film where he said it. I saw.
Oh wow,
I saw it.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. You'd probably be able to Google using the right words and bring it up. Yeah, he did say that. If you want some documents, are you familiar with Black Vault's John Greenwald?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent resource, and they've done an outstanding job there.
One story he told me is that when he was on the show, he said that he tried to get some of these documents, and they're all sent to NSA. Well, the NSA shares it with Canada, shares those documents with Canada. So the Freedom of Information Act doesn't protect UFOs. The subject of UFOs goes to NSA, and you can't get anything out of the NSA using the excuse of the Freedom of Information Act. So he goes to Canada and asks them for it. Well, they're more free with their documents. So he says, yeah, we got a ton of them here. And he gets a lot of UFO documents from Canada that were sent from NSA in America. Did you know about that?
No, that's one way to go about it.
Yeah.
Get your hands on that material. It's great.
That's right. So I don't know. Maybe the NSA plugged that leak since then. I don't know. But so are these leaked documents that you deal with, or declassified documents, or both?
Christian, you want to touch upon that, or Rick, or what do you think?
No, I think...
What was the question? Sorry, again.
It's a question about the documents. Are they leaked documents, or are they Freedom of Information Act acquired?
No, actually, some of the sources we have, absolutely, they are leaked documents. And we have things that nobody's seen yet, so... it's going to be pretty exciting to reveal some of this information to everyone.
Are any of these declassified documents?
I'm sure we have. There's so much that we have.
Yeah.
There's some that's declassified, and there's some that's just through sources that we have through space, more as a result of Christian's travels and his relationships, and also through some of the other sources. The reason we have Charles involved as well, we wanted to be more credible to the industry and to the people that we're speaking to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it sounds like a credible setup, really. So so once again...
We think so.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Edgar Mitchell. Do you plan on having Edgar Mitchell on the show?
I think it'd be great. Like I say, nobody's getting any younger, and I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, get in touch with you. You know how to get in touch with them, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because he would make an excellent person to talk to. I would ask him about that again, about Neil Armstrong on the moon, and see what he says, because that seems to be the consensus that they did indeed see UFOs on the rim of a crater on the moon and got all excited about it. Neil Armstrong did, And they were saying,
right.
They were saying to him, we know about that. Go back, go on a secure line. And he was just so amazed. He just kept talking. At any rate, we've been talking to Christian Johnston. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just say too, in terms of NASA and JPL, I did have the opportunity to partake in the Caltech yesterday and watch that landing live there at Caltech.
Yeah, very
quite good. Quite an experience with the Curiosity.
Yeah. When the first moonlander landed on there, they looked down at the foot of the lander, and it was in mud. And one guy in NASA said, "It looks like mud, but it can't be mud. There's no water on Mars." It looks like mud, but it can't be mud, because we have been told it looks like a UFO, but it can't be a UFO, because we have been told. Come on. Anyway.
There's revisionist history at work as well, so.
You can tell. You can tell I get passionate about this subject.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's, once again, Disclosure Leaks. And go to mobcaster.com and go to Disclosure Leaks. Quite a show. I wish you the best of luck. And once again, we've been speaking with Charles Bender and Christian Johnston and Rick Hack. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. And we are not alone.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Thanks for having us on. This is the kind of show that we think is very relevant to our subject matter, and you have the same similar mindset that we do.
Very good. Yeah, I think so. I think so. So, given it's show business, I will say break a leg with that show.
Thank you.
Okay, my friends. Thanks again.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again. And if any of our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on Talk Shows on the homepage, then Tuesday Forum. We Are Not Alone is also archived on my website, which is ufoimplications.com. Please stay tuned to whfr.fm, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
WHFR, Dearborn.